Welcome back to Slightly Offensive today with two black people on set. Usually you guys think it gets old, me saying I'm a black woman, but we always got to balance it with the masculinity. We got the real man of the hour, the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, who is both the host of his own show, Jesse Lee Peterson Show, also of The Fallen State, which you can find on YouTube and streaming on the radio, also available on a lot of other platforms where clips are produced and where they haven't yet been demonetized or banned. Welcome to the show, Jesse.
Thank you, man. I appreciate being here. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I was waiting for you to say that.
It's amazing.
All right. Let's jump right into this. Yeah. I like to start with something pretty superficial. Basically, I want to go get into your outfit for today. So you just turned 70, am I right?
Yes.
70 years old.
In May.
70 in May.
70. I'm older than dirt.
You're older than dirt itself.
Yeah. So God made me, and then he made dirt.
And then the dinosaurs came after.
And then the dinosaurs came. I saw them when they came and when they died out.
What happened? Can you tell us?
The people who believe in evolution came along. And so, and so the dinosaurs decided to die out.
So they couldn't handle them anymore. People started chopping off their wieners, giving their kids hormones treatments, and the Tyrannosaurus Rex was like, I have no more.
That's right.
None of this. All right, so let's get to your outfit. So you're 70, yeah, but you're wearing no-show socks, or you're not wearing socks. What's that?
Well, I like to be comfortable. And I didn't know that my feet would be. Are they showing on TV?
Now? Oh yeah.
Oh, they
Your black beautiful feet are showing on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
I asked my producer, "Do you think my feet would be on TV?" He's like, "No, I don't think so." So
well,
I
you
like
should
to
fire
be
your producer.
So I will.
Yeah. Is this right here? Or no,
it was James, the Hate Report.
Oh yeah.
You fire know who
him.
He is?
Yeah, fire him.
Yeah.
He's and gone.
So, yeah, I like to be comfortable, so.
Okay, me too, but I wear no-show socks, so we got something in common. And then you're obviously wearing a really just common shirt. I've seen these worn a lot in evangelical churches on Good Morning America. But it's your merch. It says, "Stop having sex out of wedlock," which kind of brings us into today's discussion. Why do you wear that shirt?
Well, because men need to stop having sex out of wedlock. When they have sex out of wedlock, they become subject to the woman. Because women are sex dealers, and men are sex addicts. And so the moment you have sex with her, she controls you. And if she decides that she doesn't want to do it, you're going to have to find some other woman because you can't do it without it. It's the same thing as alcohol or pot. You smoke pot?
No, I don't.
You don't smoke pot?
No, I used to for a lot of years.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
It's the same as pot or any other drug. You become addicted to it. And so if men wait, they should date with no sex so they can see if this is the right woman that they want to marry and, you know, become the mother of their children. And then once they do that, things just tend to work out better. But if they have sex before marriage, they don't know who they really marry. They're marrying the wrong person, don't realize it. And then after a while, it's too late.
What if they slip up like one or two times? Like, what if it's just a mistake?
And no such thing as sex. When you have sex, you think about it. You plan it out. Set it up.
You said we're addicts, right?
Yeah.
But as a man, okay, but how? That's a good question though, because a lot of people would go, "I want to stop having sex. I want to stop overeating. I want to stop drinking."
Right.
But if they're addicts, some people say it's a disease. Do you think it's a disease?
No, it's absolutely not a disease. In order to overcome it, they have to overcome their mothers, because men hate women because they hate their mothers, and so because you become like what you hate. And so they hate their mothers, so they're trying to get something from the woman that she doesn't have. Women don't have love to give. They don't have love. They receive love, but they don't have it. So men are trying to get love from the woman. They're trying to get something that was lost. When they resented their mother, they lost their innocence. So they're trying to get it back without realizing it. And so they're trying to get it through a woman, but it's never going to work.
Okay, so then here's the question.
And so the way to overcome this...
So stop having sex out of wedlock, but let me ask you this. What if someone's in a relationship right now and they're fornicating outside of marriage, so that's not their wife?
No, it's not. They it's just another sex dealer, and they are subject to her, and she's controlling them. They're the boy, and she's the mama.
Okay. I mean, I'll take it, but some people are going to be, of course, disagree with you. What happens now? So let's say.
So the way to overcome
being
a sex addict, you got to overcome your mother. You got to go and forgive her for turning you away from your father, for being impatient, for playing victim and causing you to identify with her, because whomever caused you to identify with them, they control you, right? And so men are controlled by their mothers. And as a result, they're controlled by every woman they get involved with, because they're getting involved with their mothers. You become attracted to what you hate. And so when you go and forgive your mother for what she did, then God will take the mother identity away from you and give you back your natural self before you were traumatized by her. And then the sex and the drugs and things would just start to fall away because you would feel, you would have peace. And if you have peace within, you don't need anything to make you feel good. You already feel good.
So you're saying that obviously kind of coming to that, it's a spiritual thing. Yeah. You got to bring that forgiveness.
Yeah.
But obviously you're a reverend, so
don't ask
you believe
for
in
forgiveness,
God.
Though. You have to forgive because human beings don't forgive. They will control you. But when you forgive them, God will forgive you and you can become yourself again. And any man that has anger is a woman.
Okay, can you, you break that down? Why is that? Because I know there's a friend of mine who actually, he keeps putty, you know, like wall putty, because
yeah.
he's always punching holes in walls.
Right.
And when I've gone over his house yeah. and I go, where'd that hole come from? He goes, just an accident. But I know he's got anger problems. And yeah. a lot of guys are really just pissed off and you bump into them in public. Like if you go out to like an event, let's just say,
yeah.
and you just like brush against a guy, he goes, what the hell are you doing? And yeah. his immediate response is provocation. He's getting at you. But you're saying that if they're angry, how does that make sense?
Because you become like what you hate. So when they become angry, the moment they become angry at their parents, men and women really, but the moment they become angry at their parents, they become like her. They lose themselves and they take her mindset and her emotions. So they become like a woman. So when they grow up, if they don't overcome that, anything would cause them to overreact. You know how women overreact to things?
Yeah, it's a common thread.
Yeah, the men overreact the way a woman would because anger doesn't work very well in him. It's a woman's nature, not a man's nature.
Well, then what do you say to people? Like, obviously, so one thing that I find that's pretty hard here is that I bring up God a lot in my podcast. And it's not because I'm trying to, you know, force anyone to think away. It's because right. it's the way that I'm convinced is true.
Right.
And so I bring it up. But of course, a lot of times, like atheists or agnostics come in and they go, okay, you're talking about God and the spiritual stuff, but I don't believe in that. What do you feel about that? What do you feel about like an atheistic approach?
I totally understand it because if you don't love your earthly father, it's impossible to believe in God. And so men and women who don't believe in God don't have a close relationship with their fathers because it's impossible to love God and resent your father. But if they overcome the mother and return to the father, they'll naturally love God. And their life will change for the best.
Right, and that brings me to the next thing. So you run an organization called Bond, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that, because obviously you really care about the state of men. And you said stop having sex. A lot of what you talk about is about trying to build stronger men,
yeah.
which is opposite of what we have in our culture. The culture is all about building up women. The other day I was at a friend's house. He's another creator called Mr. Reagan. He's the guy who exposed AOC. I don't know if you saw that. He proved AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was hired by the Justice Democrats. She's a puppet.
Oh, okay.
He got real famous for that.
Yeah.
And we played the game Miss Monopoly. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, so Hasbro made a game called Miss Monopoly, which essentially, instead of buying property, you buy inventions that are from women. So there was like the leak-proof diaper and other inventions that they didn't
Amazing.
Actually make. And then when you pass go, the men only collect $200 and the women get $240.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the game, the men start out with $500 less than a woman. So like the whole culture set up. They're making games now to give women the favor.
Yeah.
And it's all about how we have to help women. But a recent article from New York Post said that women are actually so far ahead right now that they can't even find men that make as much money as them to date.
I know. I heard that. I
it's
read
crazy.
About that. Yeah. Well, women are not strong. It's just that men are weak. And so they'll pass laws and things like that to force men to cower down and pretend that women are strong, right? And so the only reason that they're doing that is because the men are weak. If the men overcome the mothers and start speaking up and taking back their natural order that they should be in, things will start to change again. And that is changing. So at Bond, we've been around 29 years, and we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding a man. We're bringing back the natural order of God, God in Christ, Christ in man over woman and woman over children. And the man is supposed to bring the woman into his world, which is heaven, instead of going into her world, which is hell. And so we're showing men how to overcome their mothers. And when they date, leave out the sex so the man can know the woman and the woman can get to know the man. And if it's the right person for you, you will be with that person until death do you part. But if it's not, if you go into her world, it's going to be hell all the way. And we tutor, we counsel. We have an entrepreneur academy where we're teaching guys how to start businesses. Because a lot of these guys are very, like you, a lot of these guys, especially millennial guys, very talented, right? So one half of them is very talented and the other half is immoral. And weak.
that's like my thoughts in the shower today. I was like, I got skills, but I have serious depravity in my heart, you know? It's like that sad moment.
So we bring back the whole man by showing them how to overcome. So a lot of these guys are talented. I started an entrepreneur academy to help them get their businesses going. I started a credit union because some of them don't have money. And what we do is we'll loan them the money and they pay it back with small interest. So that they can get their business going. It's been amazing too.
That's real. Okay, that's perfect. I'm gonna get into this. So we're talking about women and men. So this is a famous question that you've probably heard before, but what is a man?
A man is a male who loves what's right with all his heart, soul, and might. And he can see what to do and do it. He has no fear, no doubt, no worry, no insecurity. So he leads the way rather than follow.
Wow. Okay. So that's pretty simple. Yeah. And you've heard a few other definitions on your show.
I heard everything. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to me that I asked the question, what is a man? Most men don't know. What is a man? What do you mean? What is a man? What do you think a man is? They don't know what a man is because most men are females.
I mean, I would actually agree to that because they're told that if you speak anything, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And they've listened rather than shaping the culture and the society.
That's right.
They've let the society and the culture shape them. But I think what's interesting is that there's a lot of people out there who think that a man just means like trying to just be masculine. So they'll just be like, so the world looks at it and they go, well, you have these men. There's this phrase, toxic masculinity. You know that phrase?
Women who hate men.
Yeah. They just talk about, men who are trying to be manly. But I think that it's just because some men in the pursuit of trying to figure out what it means to be a man,
right.
They get misdirected.
Yes.
They either become more feminine or more masculine, but it's not just outward qualities. Like you don't just become a man by driving a big truck.
Absolutely, man.
There's a lot of like, because if you drive a big truck, but you're angry, you said it first, you're a woman.
You're a female, beta male. So
you got the V where you should have the P.
I'm telling you.
It's true.
A man, he doesn't have to try to be a man. He is a man. And he's a male first, and then he develops into a man by doing what's right, being what's right, and not having fear or doubt and all that insecurity stuff. So he doesn't have to play macho, or he doesn't have to be weak. He just be himself, and he's naturally growing and maturing into that. It's given to us to be that way by God and not by anyone else.
Then my other question is, what's a beta male?
Beta male. Beta. It's a male who has fear, doubt, worry. He looks to the woman to lead his, you know, and tell him what to do and how to do it. He's afraid to get out there and do his thing because he has the wrong type of identity. He's weak.
Are you an alpha or are you a beta?
I'm not a beta, but I wouldn't define myself as an alpha male. I can tell you I have no fear. I have no doubt. I have no worries. I have no insecurity. And what I'm doing in life is what I can't help myself. I'm created to do. It's a talent given to me by God. And all men have a talent. They all have it, but because they have not overcome the anger, it cannot come forward. And they all know the truth, but they won't recognize the truth until they are willing to face themselves and overcome the anger.
Okay, that's good. And so I want to bring it to this. So today, there's a lot of people saying that, you know, you can become a man. Like a woman can become a man. And there's this person called the disabled hippie. And this is a disabled hippie, and as a girl who cut off her boobies, you know, they get the mastectomies,
yeah.
And they get the scars, and I don't know what to call them. I don't know.
Screwed up.
Yeah, it's really screwed up. It really is.
Yeah.
And they say that they're a man, and they're praised as being a man. Like, and I think a lot of people they know that being transgender doesn't make you a real man.
Right.
But like, just like when you ask them, well, why aren't transgenders real men? Their always example is just like, because they don't have a penis. But the truth is, you can get a fake penis installed.
That's
so
right.
So then the thing is with these people, do you really think transgenders can actually become the opposite gender?
No. A man will always be a male, will always be a male, even if he take off his male body parts and attach women.
Snip.
All right. He's still a male on the inside, and a woman is still a woman, a female on the inside, right? But they make you pretend that it's a man is a woman or a woman is a man, because men are afraid to say, no, you are a female. There are only two genders, male and female. But because men are so weak, society is afraid to stand up and tell the truth. But they are unhappy people. They're on drugs. They're, you know, alcoholics. They are unhappy pretending that they're something else. They need to overcome that by overcoming their mothers. They need to be born again.
All right, let's talk about vices. Cause
it's just like the black people, for example.
Oh, black people. You heard, let's get into it.
You heard of blacks, right?
I've heard of blacks.
Are you afraid of them?
I'm not afraid of you.
I'm a normal black.
All right, what's the difference between a normal black and a black? That's a good question.
Abnormal black are those who are angry and victims, and they blame everybody else for their problems rather than overcoming. And I noticed that a lot of white people are afraid to tell black people the truth.
Because they get called racist.
Right.
The moment you tell a black person, like if you say anything, I was at a rally recently at the Houston debates, and there was a black woman speaking, and another girl tried to refute her facts, and they go, "Be quiet, a black woman is speaking," as if like her skin color made her smart. She was retarded.
Right. That's right. But the problem is white people are afraid to go against that.
But the point is the culture is set up to make, like, what do you do if you know that you criticize a black person, you lose your entire career?
You tell the truth anyway. And if you love what's right, another door will open as one closed, because you're representing what is right. They're representing what is wrong. And right should never give in to wrong. You can overcome it by telling the truth anyway. Just don't hate, but tell the truth. And white people have given into that for 70 years. They have been afraid to tell the truth for fear of being called racist. They have a false sense of sympathy for black people. They believe the lie about slavery and Jim Crow and all that. And so they have brought out the worst in black people, because blacks see that whites are afraid of them.
When whites are, but you know, here's the key thing though. I think what's to bring this out, and this is where it's like, people don't even want to talk about this on their own podcast. So I've been robbed a couple times.
By blacks?
Yeah.
I don't know, huh?
And yeah. I don't know what to say. Like, you know, when, I'm going to tell you a good story here. This is really good. So my sister-in-law, she's Australian, but she lives in Berlin. And Berlin in Germany, they're, you know, much more liberal even than we are in LA. Yeah. They're way far gone. They don't have free speech laws. And
That's
imported.
That's happening here, by the way.
I know it is, huh? Yeah. You can't misgender.
Right.
But they brought over a bunch of Arabs and Africans. And what happened is, she was saying, because she used to be more liberal and her friend used to be more liberal. Now, what happened is when they brought in these black immigrants from Somalia, her one friend kept getting followed home and sexually harassed by these Somalians. Yeah. And her friend is so taught to think that black people can't do wrong or can't criticize them, that she said, "I'm having a hard time. Like, I want to like say that I'm seeing a connection, like maybe I should avoid the Somalis on the train, and like I should avoid these people because they're like harassing me and following me home, but like I know it's just in my head," but it just kept being Arabs or Somalis following her home. And it's like, then they're so ingrained. Amazing. That when the facts are in front of them, and it's like it doesn't even matter that there's different kinds of black people, that there's Somalis and that there's Ugandans, and there's different cultures too. Some of the cultures are even more civilized than the others.
Yeah.
And there are,
that's right.
I'm going to put your words. You said there are normal blacks and abnormal blacks.
Yeah.
Because I have to even do that, because YouTube will try to kick me off for just making a comparison about black people. But she's as a white person, you can get raped by people of color. You can get raped by immigrants, and the governments hide it and suppress it and say that if you criticize it, you're an abnormal white. And the only people that are allowed to be criticized are white people. It's true. And the only people that are not allowed to have pride are white people.
And especially white straight men. They hate white straight males.
Why?
Because white straight men are the only one that hold things together. They're very smart. They build. They don't destroy. They share what they have. They're very creative. And the men, so-called men of color, are not. They're very destructive. They don't build. They destroy. And so there's a jealousy of that. And so they really want to destroy the white man so they don't have to look at themselves. And
let me stop you there for a second, because I got two groups of people that watch the show. I have two groups of people that watch the show, okay?
Yeah.
So you have one that would probably be a little more mainstream conservative or like right-leaning, that would just go, "Wow, like that's a pretty bold statement." Maybe they feel it inside, but they'd say that that could be borderline racist. And then I have like some other people that like feel that white people are picked on and they are destroyed.
They are picked on.
And so it's like, it's an interesting thing, but you know, you're not picking on white people.
No.
But so why not you?
Because I grew up in Alabama on a plantation under the Jim Crow laws, right? And my great grandfather was killed in his bed because he hired another black guy from a different plantation. He had gotten fired, and those plantation owners said, "Do not hire him." And he's like, "No, I'm doing what I want." So he hired him anyway. And so my they came to kill my great grandfather, but he had a gun under the bed, and he ran them off the first time they came around. And they came back at a different time, and his wife had taken the gun from the bed, and they were able to kill him. And yet we weren't taught to hate. We were taught that there were good and bad in all people, right? All races. And so I didn't grow up hating people like that, you know. I grew up knowing bad people, knowing good people. We were not allowed to even hang around with bad black people. If there was a family down the road and their kids were bad, we knew that the parents were bad, so we had to stay away from the house too. We could not play with the bad kids, right? And so we were taught to just love people, not judge people, and to, you know, stay away from the bad, hang out with the good. So I didn't grow up with all that hatred in my heart like that. When I moved to California at 18, I did listen to people like Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, and NAACP, and I believed for a while that white people were against me, but I realized that's not true, so I came back to normal. Black people today have been brainwashed to believe that white people are against them. They're not been told that it's their fault that their lives are screwed up. They've been told it to white people. And so that's why they're so out of control today.
Really? I mean, that's interesting, because even you saying phrases like bad black people, we've been taught to think that you can't actually look at the problem or the people that are causing the problem, which I think actually makes white people, maybe even makes them a little bit racist inside, because they're not able to deal with any issues publicly.
No, it
and
made
so
them
they end up
weak.
Getting frustrated. And yeah, they feel weak, but they feel attacked.
Only because they're not speaking up.
But Jesse, how do you actually speak up? Because it's like you have a show where you get paid to speak up. I have a show where I get paid to speak up, but you know, I was going to say Phil Collins, but that's actually like a decorated Grammy Award winning artist, so that's a bad name. But let's just say Phil Collins, who's not to be confused with the famous Phil Collins. You know, he's a plumber, he's chilling, and he lives in this neighborhood, and let's just say he doesn't want to service certain neighborhoods because he feels like his tools are going to get robbed out of his car. How does he speak up without getting fired from the union that he's involved in or whatever? You know what I mean?
Like, he speaks up by saying, "I'm not going over there because they're going to rob me. I'm not going into that black neighborhood. They're going to rob me, or that Mexican neighborhood. They're going to steal my stuff." You speak up like that. And then if the union say, "Oh, you can't be a part of the union," fine. Keep working and doing your thing, and other opportunity will come. You should never be so attached to anything that it prevents you from speaking up. You have to speak up. Nothing is that important that you can't speak up. What's important is to be right and to do right.
And that's the fear you were saying, because as a man, if you haven't overcome fear, if you're a weak man, and so you're allowing your fear of losing money or your fear of income. Because
right.
if you're resilient and if you're a real man, like you're saying, you can actually find a way to always make money.
You can
always find opportunities, because people want to hire real men.
That's right.
But if you're afraid because you're like, "I got this one job and I'm stuck," that means you got to do some self-development, because you don't want to live your life as a captive, as a slave.
That's right. And that's what's happening with a lot of folks now. They're not speaking up because material things are more important than what is right. And they don't realize by speaking up, other opportunities will open up. You won't be left in the dark. And the children of the lie, they know that. And that's why they always threaten to call you racist. They try to take your stuff away from you. They threaten your job and all that, because they have no real power. You know who the children of the lie
are? I was going to ask, that's my next question. Who are the who are the children of the lie, JLP?
The liberal media,
all right.
The Democratic Party, the right-o Republicans, the Never Trumpers, and the black race hustlers. That include the black preachers and all them. They are children of the lie. They keep threatening white people to take their stuff if they tell the truth. And white people made stuff more important than what is right, so they're losing out. And if they don't wake up and speak up, we're going to have South Africa in America. And over in South Africa...
Oh no, yeah. I don't want that.
It's already happening.
South Africa is a scary place to live.
Right, because the blacks have taken over, and then now they're taking the land away from white people without compensation.
They're not policing properly.
Right.
They're not enforcing the law.
Right, and white people are being robbed, raped, and murdered, and killed in their own homes. There have been heads are cut off, just all kinds of things, right?
But it's all denial. It's all denial. Even Lauren Southern even got involved in some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
And people, they banned her off Patreon and different sources of income, because they're saying that that's racist. To investigate crimes against white people is actually considered racist.
Well, the same thing is happening here. I mean, when you look at the government right now, you had that that old evil woman, Ilhan Omar, and the four squaws or whatever they call.
Yeah, yeah, Rashida Tlaib,
the women of color,
the one girl that no one knows who she is with the dreadlocks,
right.
And the other one,
right? And
the
those people hate white people.
They really
hate
do
America, and they hate Israel, right? But yet they're getting into our government and they're creating new laws, and those laws are gonna enslave us even more so, and especially white people. And if they keep voting in the people of color, eventually they're going to take away the white people's land here. They're going to take their stuff away from them because white won't be able to do anything about it. And you will see more white people be murdered, robbed, and raped, and killed because now these laws are against the whites and there's nothing you can do. And the police are not going to be able to defend you from that.
Well,
that's
why you
got
to
start speaking up. And these people can't get into government.
But I'm going to ask you, so this is where you get borderline with stuff, and I think this is where, because your account got completely demonetized, right, by YouTube? You guys got
something like that.
All right, so something like that, and YouTube did this crackdown.
I know we've been, what do you call that? Shadow banned.
Oh, yeah, I know that is.
All kind of stuff.
You get your suggested
happening.
Taking away your views drop.
But that's not new for me. I've been doing this for 29 years. I've been banned from different radio shows and different radio stations. I've had shows on different radio stations, been banned from those, but I don't care. I love what's right more than anything else. I love my country. I'm not an African American. I don't have an Afro. I have an Amerifro. there are no African drums beating in my chest. The American guitars in my heart, playing in my heart. Black as the ace of space.
Phil Collins.
Yeah, that's right. Black as the ace of space, but 100% American. And I refuse to give in to the people who hate America. It doesn't make sense.
I saw an interview with you on BET, and one of the people afterwards said that you are a black hater, that you deny the suffering of your people, that you are somebody who's a traitor to black people, and that you're just trying to suck up and get the likes of white people.
Amazing.
Because it's advantageous to your career. What do you think about that?
I think that, first of all, black people are not my people.
They're my people. They're more my people than they're your people.
My people are those who believe in God, been born again and believe in God and doing the right thing. Those are my people. I'm not into the color thing, because once you truly believe in God, then you're like in the world but not of it. You're not addicted to material things. You're not into color and culture and all that. You're into what is right. And so I know that they think you're supposed to be all into one because they're in a fallen state. Satan is their daddy, and they can't see what's going on. So they identify with color and cultural and all that crap and with words and all that. And once you're born again, you overcome those things.
Well, let's talk about that then, overcoming. Let's talk about vices. A lot of, like, men statistically suffer with, like, vices like alcoholism, drug addiction,
right.
Even things that it can lead to, like depression, suicide, those kind of things. Not that depression's a vice, but meaning those things often develop from
right.
Those. What are your thoughts on drinking and weed?
They got to stop trying to escape, but to start facing things, not run away from situations, but to face them. And so they have a lot of anger. They feel insecure. They have doubt and fear. And they have a conflict within. And so instead of facing it and overcoming it, they are running away from it by using those vices.
Do you
to
drink?
Make themselves feel better. No.
You don't smoke weed?
Once in a while, I have a little glass of wine or something with dinner or something like that. But no, I don't smoke pot. I used to smoke pot when I was younger. And I did it because my friends were doing it. But whenever I smoked pot, I would become paranoid.
Yeah, I mean,
and so I would stay
life,
home. Yeah.
You get, and this is true, and I don't mean this because I have a lot of friends who smoke pot all the time. They're a little bit paranoid.
Yeah,
and even if they're not paranoid when they're high, they're just a little bit jumpy.
They're not themselves.
And it's a truth. It's just like, and they get offended when you tell them that. I've told to all my friends, I go, dude, you're a little bit jumpy. You get a little bit sketched out by
right.
people because weed. Breeds, it's supposed to help anxiety, but it breeds insecurity.
It really
That's
does.
Why I stopped smoking
yeah.
weed.
Yeah.
I liked weed too. Yeah. And then I noticed that this one time I stopped using weed for like a few months and my confidence came back.
That's right.
And so it's not like I think that if you smoke weed, you're a bad person.
Right,
I just,
me either. I don't think that either.
I actually think that I'm actually glad that Californians smoke more weed than drink because they're all more, instead they're not, they're all, you know, like they're crazy. They're demon possessed and they're wandering around. But instead of like flailing, they're just kind of like swaying,
right.
You know, because they're so stoned.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have demons under the influence of weed than other things. But it's like with the weed thing, it's so accepted that I think that like our culture's moving not only to material, but it's like, it says, well, if you're not into material things, then just use substances and this will drown you out. But what about for people that aren't addicts, like people that just use substances for recreation use? What do you think about that?
If they have peace, they wouldn't use it, because whenever you use pot and stuff like that, you lower your consciousness. You really don't see what's going on with yourself and what's around you. And I always want a clear conscience. So I'm staying, you know, I don't do that stuff. Plus, I don't need it now. I have peace. But it's best to stay away from the pot and stuff. And the world has demoralized, especially millennials and others, by telling them you need free pot, you need this and that, because sex before marriage, living together and all that, so that they can control you. You can't control a moral conscious person or people. You have to bring your consciousness down in order to control them, to make them think that wrong is right or right is wrong, to tell them that homosexuality is normal, lesbian.
Yeah, let's talk about lesbian.
Normal.
Let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about.
But
let's
if you had a higher state of consciousness, you wouldn't believe those lies.
That's what I'm talking to. So let's talk about, because vice is, this is unpopular. I think sex is a vice. And people talk about it being your identity or right. like your, I think it's just a vice.
It is.
Like, I think homosexuality, I think it's a vice.
It is.
And
it
people
is.
Say you're born this way.
No, you're not.
Well, I think you were born a sinner. You're born a sinner. And because, like, here's the thing, though. A lot of people I know that were gay, there's two factors that I found with gay friends. And people find this offensive. That's fine. The show's called Slightly Offensive. And you have JLP on the show. But a lot of my friends who were gay, they were either molested as children, very common, which is like a generational curse. That's what I call that.
Right.
Which is an understanding. If your first sexual experience, or also an opposite, like that's not just gay men, lesbians sometimes too.
Lesbians.
How do you say lesbians? How do you do it?
Lesbians.
I just add a little more lesbians.
Lesbians.
So speaking of lesbians,
I saw a fat lesbian. Have you ever seen a fat lesbian?
I don't want to, but I have.
Oh my God. I participated in a straight march up in, Fresno, California.
Oh, you went to that one? I was in Boston at that one.
And there were a bunch of fat lesbians, and they were like fat from head to toe.
Oh, where they don't have a neck.
Right.
Their chin connects to the chest.
And I'm like, why are you so fat? Fat lesbian. They have a lot of guilt because they're, you know, they're.
This is what our shows come to. Oh, man. This is probably the only Sean Blaze right now that will say this. I love it. I love having you on. This is my favorite.
Oh,
I like fat. Well, fat lesbians. Someone needs to say it. Fat lesbians are really gross.
They are, and they have a lot of conflict. So they drink alcohol. They eat a lot of food. They're like real mean and angry, and they'll push you down if you get in the way. They'll bump you like a man, and they'll real mean because they have so many conflict. And so that's why I was saying, fat lesbian, what do you want? You know.
Oh man, what about chubby lesbians?
By the way, James told me to tell you hello.
Oh yeah, tell him I said hello.
He wanted to come today.
Why didn't he come?
He was working.
Why? Oh, he had to work?
Yeah, he had to work.
Okay, you're not firing him.
No.
All right, good. Well, let's keep on this with the vices though.
But the lesbian, I gotta tell you this. You're right. It could come from having sex too early in life and harassed or whatever. But also when the mother is pregnant, if she's angry, if she hates the man, she hates the husband, she hates her father or her mother, she can traumatize the child in the womb and cause the child to become angry, messed up in the womb. And a boy or girl can be born that way because they now have the spirit of the mother rather than the spirit of the father.
Is there science behind that, or is that just your theory?
No, that's a fact. And they can overcome it. By forgiving the mother and returning to the father, you can overcome being a lesbian or a homosexual.
Yeah, because I think
it's a spiritual thing. It's not.
Yeah, people think you
thing.
Can't overcome it.
You can't overcome
because,
all
but, things. But the reason why I know, like, just like with vices and stuff, like if your dad was an alcoholic, or you know, there's even like a gene that makes you more higher propensity towards addiction, like towards pattern behavior. Like you can tend to like pick up and get obsessive or whatever. That's like generational curses again. But it doesn't
Which
make
gene
you an
does
addict.
That?
There's an actual gene in your mind that makes you more susceptible to forming patterns. They call it the addiction gene.
I don't believe it's a gene.
But there is a gene that makes you more susceptible to patterns. No, it's not for addiction.
No.
Why? But not for homosexuality,
don't believe
for
them.
Alcoholism.
Don't believe that.
You don't think so?
No. I'm telling you for a fact.
I'll take it.
It's a spiritual thing.
Well, I think both.
And when you have anger, you know, in the Bible it says that my children shall know me by my voice.
Yeah.
Well, God's voice is a voiceless voice. He doesn't talk to you up here. Did you know that? He reveals to you. Satan talked to you up here, and it sounds like your voice. It sounds like someone else's voice, but it's not. And whenever you believe that voice, you believe into a lie. And so it causes you to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. That's why you have to overcome the anger, because anger is the nature of Satan. Then you start to overcome the voices, because you're supposed to doubt every voice that he gives you. Satan is pretending to be God. So whatever God does, he imitates that, pretending to be, right? But so if you can learn to doubt every thought you get is a lie, then you can believe the truth and you can overcome anything. But as long as you believe any thought, they build you up to let you down. And so if you can doubt every thought, there's nothing you can't overcome. So when the scientists and others tell you it's a gene and all that, they're just lying. They don't know what they're talking about.
But they did say there's no gay gene. They did say there's no gay. They did a whole comprehensive study. No, did you hear about that?
There is a gay demon.
No, the gay gene. They looked, they did a whole test to see if there was a gene that made you gay. And of course, there isn't one.
No, there's no gay gene. And there's no alcoholic gene. There's no drug conditioned gene. It's a spirit. It's the God that you serve. Either you serve Satan in your head or you serve God from the heart.
But don't you think, though, that sometimes people, like, I'm not saying that the gene makes you an addict. I'm saying that certain people, like, that's when people say, I'm born this way. What they're trying to say is certain vices attract different people because of just their experiences combined with DNA, combined with everything. And it's a spiritual element. I believe so. But I also believe that's my point, is saying that, like, since the gene doesn't make you an addict, it's not like you have to be this way. You don't have to be a slave to what you're drawn to. Like, if you're in the flesh, if you're in the world, and you are like, and this goes for Christians and non-Christians alike that need to understand this, like, you don't have to stay a certain way. Like, you're not stuck the way that people said you are. Right. And the whole world, the whole Born This Way campaign is really important, because sex is a big part of a lot of people's identities.
Right.
And it's a part of breaking free. Like, your shirt, stop having sex out of wedlock. You know, I believe the ultimate plan for humanity is to just have sex monogamously in marriage. And you're not even, but you don't believe in certain other like types of sex. Like, people are having weird kind of sex today. You're more into the normal kind of sex,
yeah,
right?
I don't have it, period.
You're good, but weren't you married before?
Engaged but never married.
Why'd you break that off?
Because every time I would date for a long time, and then the woman act like, oh, I really like you, I like what you do, you're like, oh, wow, and she act like she's normal, but then as soon as you get engaged, they want to control you, and so I had to call it off.
Well, then what do you say to people that would say that that as someone who's not married, I asked this to another guest before too, someone who's not married and doesn't live with a woman, how are you an expert on understanding women and men?
Because once you wake up, you can see the truth, you know the truth. If you remember, was Jesus married?
No, he wasn't.
And he understood men and women, right?
Yeah, but he was God. You're not God.
Jesus not God either. He's the Son of God.
Well, it's the Trinity, right? Three
and
one.
And so my point is that inside of you, you already know the truth. And so when you wake up, you're able to see and know the truth because you're guided by that. We are not in control of anything. We are not in control of our lives. There's no such thing as free will and all that. We're either influenced by evil or influenced by good. So once you're born again, until you overcome that anger, you're influenced by evil, because anger is the nature of Satan. So you're influenced by evil, right? So it gets you to believe things and do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. You're not in control. But once you overcome that anger, overcome mama and return to the Father, you know how in the Bible it says that there will come a day when I will return the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children? Well, that's what happens when you overcome mama and return to the Father. Then you wake up, and then you can see what's going on and live your life in a perfect light manner.
Well, yeah, let me, that's really good. And I kind of want to switch courses real fast, because I love it. But this has been really on my mind. I wanted to ask you, what is a daddy boy relationship?
A daddy and boy relationship.
A daddy boy relationship.
Will you love your father and he's a good example for you?
Nope.
What do you mean daddy boy relationship?
You're wrong.
I don't know what a daddy boy relationship.
You don't know what a daddy boy is? Are you? You're not. You don't know. Do your producers know what a daddy boy's relationship is?
I never heard it.
It is gay.
Oh.
It's from your own content. This is a test. See?
Yeah, they're more relationships. You might be old,
your memory, but your memory, we got to get this. What's a daddy boy?
Oh, I think, I could be wrong. I remember once we did a man on the street thing.
Yes, yeah. Bingo.
Yeah. And so that was this big, muscular-looking gay guy, homosexual, and he had another little weak, muscle-looking gay guy with him, too. And
let's that call guy him a homosexualette,
would,
maybe?
Yeah, and that guy would call him daddy, and he's the boy, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was an incest mentorship relationship.
Yeah, something like that. I remember that.
Specifically.
That's gross.
Yeah, well, that's but a famous clip. I've seen that floating around. I had a special request to ask you that for the show.
He's my boy. We're in a daddy-boy relationship.
And he's your daddy boy. What's a daddy boy?
Daddy-boy relationships, the best way I describe it is incest and mentorship.
Is that a joke? Are you serious?
Serious.
Wow. Amazing.
Right. And the difference between a daddy-boy relationship and a boyfriend is boyfriend relationships get, people get up in their heads about it. And daddy-boy relationships, just fun and love.
I had never heard that before that day, and I forgot about it.
I met another daddy boy at an event interviewing
really?
Them. Yeah, and but my daddy boy was like a daddy and sons. It was like five sons and a daddy.
Wow.
And we ended up having to cut the clip altogether because while I was interviewing, the guy stuck his finger up the guy's butthole in public. So it was like I had to cut it.
Yeah, they're pretty gross.
It was really disgusting. Yeah, it was really bad. It was a bad interview.
Have you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, of course.
Have you read the Old Testament?
All the way through, yeah.
And the new one?
Yes.
Do you see that everything the Old Testament says is still happening in the world?
Yeah, and the people that it said that were the evil people
and they
looks
all
a lot like
to
the United States now.
Yeah.
It said, and like, wipe these people out because they're corrupted, and if you leave one, it'll corrupt you.
Yeah.
And now it's like we are just in a nation. I see – that's why people want us to look bad, but I see what happens when you allow corrupted people and individuals to gain power. They normalize their corruption.
That's right.
And I'm not saying I'm
that's
innocent
right.
of having corruption. I was born into this fallen society.
Right. That's right.
Born in a fallen state here.
That's right.
And it's been – as I'm getting out of it, the more I get out of it, I realize the whole system is built to keep you in.
That's right.
They want to keep you in. I wasn't always a Christian. I spent most of my life not as a Christian.
Yeah.
Because I did the drugs and the sex and experimented in life and the pornography.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and I want to end on this then. Let me see, because we're
just
going with that. Yeah, yeah.
And so if you notice, the world is the Old Testament. The New Testament is within. And that's why you have to live from within instead of from without. And then within you have peace, you have love, you have joy, you can see, you have no fear, you know, you have perfect peace. So that's, but only those who forgive can enter into this, the new heaven that is within us.
I love it. No, I really do. And I want to end on this because this is something really important to me.
Okay.
And I know it's important to a lot of people. We have a really big rise in pornography addiction, right?
Yes.
Even in Christianity, in
absolutely.
In other faiths,
yeah.
Men everywhere are struggling and looking at porn. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, how do men overcome this? I think that's what, do you find that common at Bond, that men struggle with the porn addiction?
I do. I hear it all the time.
So how do they overcome it?
They got to overcome their mothers. Because they have, I'm telling you, you become attracted to what you hate. You become like what you hate. And so men hate their mothers. And they're, as a result of that, they're subject to women. And they're trying to get something that was lost. And what was lost is the identity with their earthly father. So through women, they're trying to find something that was lost. But if they can forgive their mothers so that God can forgive them, then all those addictions will fall away. They will naturally fall away. Because otherwise, you can't make yourself overcome that. You may stop doing one thing, but you'll start doing another, because we all live by faith. And so they believe in those things, and those things give them temporary peace. But if they overcome the anger by overcoming their mothers, they won't need internet stuff.
Is that why gay porn is on the rise today? Because men naturally hate that, so that the flesh, it's attracted. They get involved into things that they hate.
That's right.
But so they have to overcome all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I read a study recently that gay porn consumption is the fastest growing amount of porn. Also, there was something like incest porn too, was one of the fastest growing. And that would make sense, because naturally a man's not going to want to have sex with his sister and stuff like that. But it's like you start to get twisted towards this.
Absolutely.
And so, but you're saying it all starts with the mom. What do you say though to people that would say that you're full of, I can't say the S word, but you're full of crud?
I would tell them to suffer and die. Suffer and die, because you can't make people see the truth, right? They just have to suffer. And no sweat off my back. I don't feel sorry for them. I don't feel sad for them. Let them suffer and die. And maybe one day in their suffering, they'll cry out for the truth. I saw this story on the Daily Mail. There's a guy in Hollywood who has a pet bulldog.
Okay.
And he has sex with the dog and put it on YouTube. And they showed it on the Daily Mail show.
That wouldn't have been very fun.
The dog looked pretty happy. The dog was like laying on the bed. He had the dog laying on the bed, and he was down behind the dog on his knee doing the dog up, and the dog was all
eyes. Wait, this rolling. Was on the, they like posted this?
Yeah, they showed it. And the dog, they call it, what do they call that?
Bestiality.
Yeah, bestiality. Oh. So that's on the rise again because the world is of the
if
devil.
If I was going to go in that way, that pug, I mean, what was it, a bulldog, you said?
Yeah, he
that's had not a, the sexiest dog. Like, if I was going to be a pervert and go after animals, I'd probably choose like a golden retriever or something with a nicer coat, you know? Because at least if you're going to be a pervert, like why choose the wrinkliest, fattest, chubby one that might bite your genitals off?
But this dog it's seemed bizarre. To be happy, rolling, I land on the bed, rolling, I all happy.
Can I ask you, do you watch this?
I just saw it on the Daily Mail. No, man, it almost made me sick.
Dude, that's what I just told. So the president at the Blaze, I sent him today a picture of. Let me bring it up. Look at this. I actually,
you've seen this guy before, I think.
Watch this. So I sent this to him. This was that picture that I told you about, the hippie. Like, that's the hippie.
See there?
That's the girl who cut her boobies off and. And I sent, I said,
that's a girl that became a man. Trying to be a boy.
Yeah, trying to become a man. And I said, and he goes, wow. He goes, I said, don't worry, just working on source material for the show. He says, I don't even want to know. He goes, I don't want to know what your search history looks like. And I said, yeah, it was really awkward because I have to look up so much stuff for the show that I had some friends over from my church. And the first suggested video that came up on YouTube was how to install a prosthetic penis in a child. And they were just like looking at it like,
yeah.
And I said, I promise you, I was looking up a thing on child transgenders and how to, like, for a video. I don't get off to this. This is not what I'm into. And it's, like, kind of weird in this industry that in California, people are so messed up. You have to explain to people that you're not into that because some people are into
it. They're into it, yeah.
Like, some people like prosthetics, that kind of stuff.
I know. This guy that had sex with the dog, he was on Phil Donahue's show for doing something else weird, kind of weird stuff. So he was on Phil Donahue. You may have, not Phil Donahue, but Dr. Phil or somebody.
I don't know. Somebody useless you know Dr. sells Phil supplements? That,
yeah, some guy.
Dr. Oz?
No. Dr. Somebody that's on Open Network.
Frankenstein, probably.
Yeah, but he was on that show for some other weird stuff he had done. But nobody stopped him, so he's just getting weirder now. And that's the guy that had to say with the dog.
Oh, you know, and you know, if you want to know this for your own show, this is true. So my neighbor, I moved out here to the suburbs. No one knows where I'm at anymore because I try to keep that low key. But I'm one of my neighbors. He was like, "Oh, I'm from Hollywood too. I just moved." And I was mentioning this on a previous show. He goes, "I go, why did you move?" And he said, "Well, because he had a good friend group out there, and he was enjoying the party scene. But all his friends started getting into bestiality. They all started having sex with dogs and stuff.
Really?
And yeah, and like pigs and stuff. So he couldn't. He couldn't get into it. So he moved down here. And then it scared me because in the next week he got a new dog, and I was like, I hope it didn't rub off on him. It was a cute little like guy. I was like, oh, please, for the mercy of God, may we save this dog's life.
Behind. That's amazing. Amazing.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much, Jesse Lee Peterson, from Jesse Lee Peterson Show, as well as Fallen State, for joining me here on the show today. Make sure you check out his links in the description as well. If you like his shirt, Stop Having Sex Out of Wedlock, believe me, it's one of many pretty intense shirts and products that you can find on his store, which are absolutely incredible. If you don't want them, buy them for people who need the message. It's a subtle hint this Christmas. Send it to your nieces, your nephews, ship it to their colleges. Stop Having Sex Out of Wedlock. Again, this has been Slightly Offensive with your favorite gay black woman, me, Elijah Schaefer, with your favorite straight black man, Jesse Lee Peterson, here on Blaze TV for another episode. Make sure that you always download these on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Store, and everywhere else where podcasts are still available or up for download. Give us a 5-star rating. That really helps us. Have a great rest of the day, and God bless the United States of America.